Have you stopped lately to ponder about what heaven is going to be like? Now, I know a lot of us have maybe grown up around church, or we've heard people talk about heaven, or maybe even we make references to heaven when we talk about the fact that, yes, I'm a born-again believer. Yes, I know I'm going to be in that place called heaven. But when is the last time that we actually pondered that, sat back and thought about it? Yeah, whether your day's going along great or whether or not it's just been a horrible, horrible day. And most of the time we think more about that when it's been a horrible day, because we think about the fact that there are better days that are coming. Well, you know, I want us to kind of focus in a little bit today on the fact that we need to have that, what I call vertical view, as opposed to a horizontal view. I think that even as believers, what happens is that we get so caught up in everything that's going on around us that our vision is horizontal rather than vertical. So not only today, but even as we go forward, I want you to think about the concepts of heaven. What does the word tell us that place, that new heaven and that new earth is going to be like? Well, we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. So grab your Bible, turn it over to Revelation chapter 21, and I'll join you in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week has been coming along nicely, and that God's going to bless you not only today, but in the future days as we go forward. I mentioned a little earlier, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Revelation, chapter 21. We're actually going to be winding down our series that we call The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. So if you've got your Bible and you're turned over to Revelation chapter 21, we need to think that as believers, we look forward to the promise of the new heaven and the new earth that God has prepared for us, or we should. Now, in our introduction, I mentioned the fact that too often we don't do that. You know, we allow the noise of the world to just kind of come in around us and take over our thoughts. How many times have you ever been in circumstances or situations and really thought about the fact that, you know what, one of these days when I'm in heaven, it's not going to be like this. You know, one of these days when I get there, everything is going to change. Okay, I want you to hold that thought as we go through our Bible study today. But as we consider the passages today that we're going to look at, the vision of the eternal state gives us hope and assurance of the glorious future that awaits each and every one of us who believe in Him when Christ returns. So the passage we want to look at today is Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. That's Revelation chapter 21. I hope you've got your Bible with you, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. So it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit dwell among us. Lord, I pray that you will speak to the heart of the hearer today. May your word penetrate deeply within their souls. Father, today we realize that there are going to be people that will hear this message that are going through some critical trials and tribulations in their life. Lord, I pray that the hope of heaven will help change their perspective as they continue to function here on this earth for you. Now, Lord, as always, I pray that you would bless the hearer, but I also pray that you will bless me as your messenger for these moments. Lord, use me. May your words fill the ears of the hearer, and may your Holy Spirit bring it to life within each and every one of them. Lord, I am nothing and no one without you, so I pray that I would be used as an instrument in your hand during this time. So bless our time together, Lord, as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we kind of look at our passage today, you know, the book of Revelation is filled with apocalyptic visions that were given to the Apostle John as he was exiled over to the Isle of Patmos. Now, in this particular passage, John sees a vision of the new heaven and the new earth. Now, that seeing that is symbolic of the renewal and the restoration of all things by God. And I think that is a very, very critical statement. And I'm going to try to take something it may or may not be complicated to you. For some people it is, this concept that I'm talking about. But I'm going to try to make it very, very clear today. I'm going to try to just make it as simple as I can concerning the new heaven and the new earth and the renewal and the restoration of all things by God. So as we look at these passages, a couple of things that we see is, number one, the renewal of creation. The new heaven and the new earth represents complete renewal and restoration of God's creation. And you have to understand that when that renewal takes place, that means that that they'll be free from sin and its consequences. Now, here's the concept that I've tried to give folks to make it easy, and folks have told me that it actually did. So I hope and pray that that you will find the same to be true. When we think about that renewal and when we think about that restoration, I usually say that God's going to put things back the way they were before Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden. You know, when there was no sin, when man did not understand what evil was. See, remember, by partaking of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, remember what it was called? It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason that God didn't want them to partake of that is because he did not want them to understand what evil was about. He wanted everything to be good. He wanted everything to be wholesome. He wanted everything to be right. And because they messed up, sin entered the world. There's going to come a time when God is going to renew and restore things back to the way that he originally created them, for man to be without sin, for there not to be death along the way. So that is one of the concepts that we read about in this particular passage in Revelation chapter 21, the renewal of all creation. The second thing that we see is the presence of God. In our text today, we read that God, that he will be our God. Now, in the new heaven and the new earth, God himself will dwell among his people, and there will be perfect communion with him. I mean, how many times have people said, I've heard it many, many times, and I kind of have the same concept myself. You know, one of the things that I can't wait to see when I step into heaven, the first thing I want to see, first of all, is my Savior. I want to see the one who was willing to give up his life that I might have eternal life. So I can't wait to put eyes on Jesus. And then in the same manner, the Father who is in heaven, the Father who loved me so much that he allowed his Son to go to a cruel cross that I might live. And God will be right there with us in our presence, you know, being able to see him and to have that perfect communion with him in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but even thinking about that puts a smile on my face. And folks, those are the things that are to come for his people, for Christian people. All right. A third concept that we see in this particular passage is that there's going to be an absence of suffering. All right. In this new reality, the word says there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. And it goes on and it says all the former things will pass away. Think about that for a minute. All the former things will pass away. Can you imagine how many times, and I know that you can think of it because for a lot of us, it's on our mind each and every day, the tears that you have shed, the loss of loved ones, that I mean, life just changed. I mean, yeah, granted, you know, maybe you know that they're in heaven, you know that they're a believer, but you know what? It still hurts as we have to continue our journey here on earth without them. And often death will bring about tears in each and every one of us. The sorrows, the sufferings, the pains that we have had to go through. And the Lord is saying this, there will be no more, think about that, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. The word says all the former things will pass away and believers will experience eternal joy and peace. Did you get that eternal joy? Now, also, when we think about this particular passage, I'm reminded of a great, great hymn. It is one that has stood the test of time that we sing very often. And when we think about the last verse of this classic old hymn that says, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." And think about what that will be like. You will be in the presence of the Master. He will be there with us. God Almighty, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we can't even wrap our mind around how long eternity really is. So folks, we have to remember that we're only here on this earth for a short season. We are travelers. We are sojourners. This is not our home. As believers, heaven is our home, and we should anxiously await the day when we get there and we'll have that opportunity to spend eternity with Him. Now, as we refer back to the text, the vision of the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21 is a fulfillment of God's promise of a new creation where righteousness dwells. Now, for the sake of time, I won't go over there, but just jot down in your notes 2 Peter 3:13. It's a good reference for that, okay? It's a picture of the ultimate victory of Christ over sin and over death and over hell, and it's a culmination of God's redemptive plan for His people, okay? So as we consider those are things that should not only be what we look forward to, but those are the things that we should live for and strive for each and every day. Those are the things that should carry us through the tough days of our lives, realizing, look, I'm only here for a little while and then I will be gone. I'll be going to the place where everything is perfect, okay? So as believers, we can find hope and encouragement in the promise of the new heaven and the new earth. And I pray that you will. I mean, how many times do we find ourselves, and maybe you're like me, there are times when you catch yourself living horizontally. You're living and you're letting the circumstances around you dictate how you feel about things, how you act and how you react to things. And the Lord never intended for it to be that way with His children. We need to hold on to the hope of heaven, not the hope as in, well, you know, maybe it will happen. No, the hope that it is going to happen and the joy that it will be. Man, I imagine what that day will be like when I have that chance to walk through the gates. And I know we talk about it all the time. People use it often in joking fashions and they talk about the pearly gates. But you know what? If you read the book of Revelation, that's true and that's real. And one of these days, you know, I picture what it's like when I walk through there. There's going to be a gauntlet of people on either side, people that I have known over the years, family members who have gone on to be with the Lord, those that were friends of mine who are going to be sitting there cheering me as I walk through that gauntlet. I can just imagine what that day will be like. And then at the end of that double gauntlet that I'm walking through, I will see the face of Jesus waving me on in. And I can just imagine, I hope and pray with every ounce of everything that I am that He will be able to look at me and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your King." I pray that I will hear that. But you know what? We have to keep our focus on those things and not let the things that are going on in the here and now distract us from the hereafter after, because as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be there a lot longer than we're going to be here. Now, as we think about the promise of heaven and the new earth, it reminds us that our present sufferings are temporary. Very temporary. I love the passage, and so often we give it a little bit of lip service, but we really don't think about it. But where the Lord tells us that He said, "Life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away." I've thought about that in the context of all of time and all of eternity. And I've thought about the fact that, you know, I've sat before and Jana's been cooking something on the stove and I'll see a little wisp of steam come up off of a pot and then it dissipates in just a matter of a second. And I think about the fact that our life on this earth is but a vapor, just that little momentary vapor that I saw coming off of a cooking pot on a stove compared to all of eternity. So we're only here for a little while. So remember, our present sufferings are temporary, okay? And there is a glorious future that awaits us in eternity. So may we live in the light of this hope. May we live striving to be holy and godly. May our lives be a reflection of who our God within us really is. May we live those godly lives as we eagerly await the return of Christ. So my question for you today is, have you considered the return of Christ, even today? Did you get up this morning? Maybe you got up this morning and you said, Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that you gave me this day. I want to thank you that you've given me vision to be able to see today, that I can walk on two legs. You've blessed me in many, many ways. But did our vision and our gratefulness go beyond the here and now to the hereever after? Did we get up today thinking, maybe, just maybe, this will be the last day before the rapture? Maybe before the sun goes down, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the rest of us who believe will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. Are those our thoughts? And see, too often I think that if not, see, those thoughts are vertical thoughts when we're thinking about it in that regard. But what happens is most of the time we might get up and say, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for my vision. Thank you for my health. Lord, let me get out here and get busy today. But all that's horizontal. Not saying that you don't have to do that. Folks, listen, the Lord also condemns laziness in the Word. He says that we do need to work. And he also said, work for the night is coming when no man will have that opportunity to work. But we cannot be so distracted by the things that are going on in the here and now that we forget the hereever after. Especially when we're going through tough seasons in our lives. Especially when we feel like, man, there's nothing more I can do. The world is just crushing me. Well, remember, when you're in that particular position, there are better days that are coming through Christ. Now listen, all this goes as a believer. If you are a believer, these are the things that God has planned for you. These are the things that God has in store for you. The new heaven and the new earth. And I hope and pray that each and every day we will think about those things. We will think about, I pray we just get to the point where we think about the hereever after more than the here and now. Think about those things. Take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Say, Lord, what is it that I can do that keeps me focused upon you and your glory? Okay? So the vision of the new heaven and the new earth, man, that's a glimpse of the eternal state that God has prepared for his people. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. Boy, doesn't that make you perk up a little bit when you think about it that way? Yeah. Boy, I don't know about you, but I do. It's a glimpse of that state that he has prepared for his people. It's a reminder of the ultimate victory of Christ and the fulfillment of God's promises to his children. And his children, if you believe in him, that's me and you. So let us fix our eyes upon this future hope, and let us live with anticipation of the day when all things will be made new. Can you do that? I hope and pray that you will. I actually hope and pray that even just thinking about that puts a smile on your face and joy in your heart. So again, thank you for joining us for this particular, I'll call it a sermon series or Bible study series. And next week, we're going to head on to a new series. We're going to start off a new series. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But for right now, let me just close out our time with a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your promise, Lord, your promise of the new heaven and the new earth. Lord, where you will dwell among your people and you will wipe away every tear from every eye. Father, help us to live in light of this hope. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be looking forward to the day when all things will be made new. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study. I mentioned just at the beginning of this Bible study that we were wrapping up the series that we've been in for the last 8 weeks, a series that I titled The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. So next week, we're actually going to be beginning a new 8-week series. Now, this new 8-week series I have titled From the Pit to the Palace. And pretty much what we're trying to accomplish through that is for us to understand God's providence through betrayal and hardship. So we're going to be looking at the concepts and aspects of the life of Joseph. Next week, as you go through this week, I want you to spend some time in the book of Genesis chapter 37. That's Genesis chapter 37. I titled our first Bible study in the series, The Dreamer's Journey. So we're going to kind of pull apart the aspects of the life of Joseph as we look towards God's providence through betrayal and through hardship. Because I guarantee you that each and every one of you, if you've lived on this earth for any amount of time, there have been times that you have sat back and you have been deeply hurt because you have been betrayed or you have been through some incredible hardships. I trust and pray that God will use these Bible studies and these passages to give you new hope, to give you joy, and to bring healing in your heart. So I pray that, that you will spend some time this week, Genesis 37. Next week, we'll be looking at Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11. And as always, I want to encourage you, if you do not have a church home, we would certainly love for you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. And if you're familiar with the area, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our service starts at 10:45 a.m., and we do have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week. We've got men's small groups, women's small groups. We have Awana for the kids during the school year. So we would certainly love to have you come and be a part of fellowshipping with us. As always, if you show up, particularly if you're not from this area, if you just happen to be passing through, be sure to introduce yourself and say, "Hey, Pastor, look, I watch you on the Wednesday Bible study," and we'll look forward to just having a great, great time of fellowship together around the Word of God. So I hope and pray that I'll have the opportunity to see you this coming Sunday. May God bless you through this week. May He use you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Have a great week. God bless you. Thank you.